You know, they call it intensive parenting. They used to call it in the day, helicopter parenting. When moms and dads tend to hover over their kids, maybe a little bit too much. Today, I kind of understand it with everything going on in the world, but it's easy sometimes to hover too close and not allow our kids to grow, get outside the nest a little bit. Hey, Dr. Randy here from Intentional Living. That's what we're talking about today, being that helicopter or intensive parent. Part two, we talked about this a couple weeks back. We'd love to hear from you. I guess the question is, if you've been wrestling with being a helicopter parent, how'd you land that helicopter? What did you do? Or maybe you still wrestle with it. Tell us about it on our comment line at 888-888-1717. Today's program is from the Intentional Living Archives with the best of, where we got some great callers already recorded, all ready to go on today's program. But we do welcome your comments on our comment line at 888-888-1717 is the number. You know, every decade of life matters a great deal. I'm talking about that in the month of June. In these early decades, you know, especially that first 10 years of life in parenting, not to hover too much, giving our kids a lot of security, but also freedom to grow. So that's what we're going to help you try to find that balance today. All right, Leah is on the line from New Mexico. And Leah, apparently your mom became a helicopter parent, not when you were little, but when you became an adult. Tell us, how's that working out for you?
Well, it's better now.
Good.
That we've addressed it. Yes, I didn't have any problems growing up. I was independent and was great in school. And then when I had our first daughter, things were still okay. But once I moved back to our hometown where she could see her more often, and also when I had my second child, she kind of started being more of a helicopter mother to me and even a helicopter grandparent.
Mm. How did that feel to you? I mean, give us an example how that actually looked.
I mean, any decision I made was not the right one, or I could have done it better. Any discipline that I had implemented in my home was not carried out in her home, so the kids would always come back just a little more wild, or so to speak. Mm-hmm. But it was very discouraging. I really doubted myself, my parenting abilities. It was hard. It created a lot of stress between myself and my husband. Oh. And put a lot of stress in our family. And I eventually had to work up the courage to sit her down and say, I love you, but I need you to stop. And it was pointing out examples and finally telling her, I am, you know, in my mid-30s, and I am a mother, and I am a wife, and I am raising my kids the best way, and I will take advice, but I don't need to be put down or discouraged in my parenting abilities.
And how did she respond to that?
I think it was difficult for her to hear it at first. There was a lot of tears shed, but by the time that our conversation had ended, she had told me she understood, and she apologized. She said she would work better. And our relationship has actually gotten so much better because of that. And I've seen my kids behave better when they come back. And, you know, they know that when they go to her house, they can get away with everything, which is how it should be with grandparents. But now it's more of even her is saying, well, what does your mom say?
Yeah.
Or how does your mom feel about this? And so she's actively working on it as well. So it's made a huge difference, and we've just gotten so much better from then.
You know, as I hear you talk, Lee, I think of the number of parents with adult children who have some sort of a tension between them, and they just aren't intentional enough to sit down and be honest and talk about it and have a few tears and resolve it. And it builds bitterness and resentment and distance and boundaries and all that kind of nonsense that maybe would not be necessary if you could just have an honest discussion, because you and your mom are an example of something I teach. I talk about intention and expectations. And my guess is if your mom were on with us, she had good intentions why she was doing what she was doing.
And I don't doubt that either. Absolutely. And it was very difficult to sit down and talk, because I don't want to hurt her. And I know she's not doing it to hurt me. But we had to get on the same page.
Exactly, and because your expectations were different than what her intentions were.
Yes.
And that created the tension in your relationship. So yes. she adjusted her behavior. And I did a lesson yesterday. I was doing some teaching yesterday, and one of the things I said is we need to be more interested in the other person's expectation than we are our intention. And the reason I mean that is in this kind of speaking to parents for a moment, your son or daughter, if they're adults, what are their expectations? What do they need from you? Not what your intentions are. Because my guess is most of our intentions are good. If you're hovering over an adult son or daughter or a child, it's because you love them and you want the best for them and you know better than they do and you've got more experience and your intentions are good. But like Leah, it's driving you crazy. Right? I mean, you were probably really unhappy.
Very, yeah. And like I said, it affected my relationship with my husband and it just spilled out into our home. And it wasn't healthy for any of us.
Mm.
It was bad. But praise God, everything is so much better now.
That's good. That's great. You guys could write a book together.
Maybe one day.
And call me when you do.
We'll do.
Okay, thanks, Leah. Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
That's the kind of wisdom we need. That's intentional living. Let's get to Kathy, who's on the line.
Hi
Kathy. How are you?
I'm good. How
good.
Are you?
Good. How do you relate to this? I'm fine, by the way. How do you relate to this topic?
Well, I am suffering from all the damage I have done to my kids from helicopter parenting. And I grew up in kind of a dysfunctional family, and so I decided I was going to be the best mom ever.
Yeah.
And helicoptered my kids, who are now 19 and 22. And now I'm seeing the damage it's done and how, you know, they're walking through life thinking that, you know, any time that they've done something wrong, it's because they're not taking responsibility for it. It's always because of the other person. And you had mentioned in your last show about bailing them out financially. And I'm kind of in that place right now where my son just totaled his car last week.
Mm.
Thank God everybody was okay.
Good.
But, you know, his expectation on, you know, getting a car because he's getting ready to graduate and the balance that I'm trying to have because now I'm trying to not be a helicopter parent. But once you've trained your child for 22 years,
mm-hmm.
how do you pull back and, you know, how do you pull back where you're not exasperating them and not helicopter parent and not rescue them?
Well, they may be exasperated. I mean, it's like taking a Band-Aid off. It hurts when it's coming off, but you know the best way is sometimes just to get it off. The last caller, I think, gave a beautiful example. There was tension in the relationship with the parent and child, and she just simply sat down and confronted it. I think maybe this is an opportunity to sit down with your son and set some new ground rules and basically say, hey, I apologize. I hovered way too much. I did way too much for you guys, and it was my issue. I shouldn't have done it. I did it, but here we are now. You're a young adult. You're on your own. You got to learn. I'm not always going to be here. I could be gone tomorrow. And so it's time for you to start standing on your own two feet. And you're going to have to be strong enough, Kathy, to put some boundaries in place. And by the way, I'm not opposed. I don't teach, don't help your sons and daughters and don't help them financially or don't do this or that. In fact, I think that's appropriate. If and when doing so is helping strengthen them to be more successful in their life. In other words, if it's done in a way that you know in your heart of heart, that deep part of you as a parent, that I'm doing this not because of some need I have to feel okay about myself, but I'm doing it because they have a need that I know will help them strengthen in their life. And you need to know the difference. And sometimes that boundary, that line is hard to nail down. But what I hear you saying, Kathy, is you know you've been way over on the other side, and it's time to put some balance. Time to have a talk with your son. I mean, if you help him with a car or not, that maybe is a stepping stone, but there's a point where you've got to say, hey, this is the new relationship, and here's how I'm going to parent moving forward because I love you, and I want the best for you, son.
Yeah, no, that's really good advice. I know that we've all acknowledged in our family that I've been a helicopter mom. It's almost a joke now. But, you know, they point out to me, Mom, I just want you to listen. Like every time I'm talking to them, it turns into a lesson. So I'm really praying and trying hard to.
I'm laughing because that's a little bit of me too. I always got a lesson ready, you know, and with 3 points, by the way. Hey, Kathy, is it possible if you sat down with your son and said, son, here's the way it is, that he might actually respect you more for saying, wow, that's not the mom I used to know?
Probably not at first. Not if it has to do with money. But
well, listen, you got to have a starting point, and maybe this is the starting point, and maybe you're going to say, hey, here's how much I can help you with, but that's it. And then if you don't set down some new ground rules, you're never going to get there because you're going to constantly fall back into your own needs as a parent. And I hear you, Kathy. I'm chuckling with you because I think many times as really loving parents, we misinterpret what love means as meaning we do too much for them.
Yeah,
and that's not
definitely the
goal. All right. Well, we pray for you. Let us know how that turns out.
I appreciate that.
All
Thank
right.
You so much.
God bless you. Hey, listen, this is good. We're going to get back to more calls. And what do you think? What's your take on this? What have you learned? What's your question? 888-888-1717. You know, there's a little trivia question I shared a couple weeks ago. Many new listeners, here it is. The average parent does this 5 times a week for about 15 minutes each time. What is it? Tell you what it is, 2 minutes. Sometimes we need to simply, can I say, shut up and be a good listener. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an intentional minute. When we listen to another person, it's a gift we're giving to them. Not only are we giving them our ear, but hopefully our mind and our heart and our presence. Looking into their eyes and being present with them at that moment is a powerful thing. The scripture says in Proverbs 18 that he who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and a shame to him. Boy, that's a scriptural admonition. We also learn in scripture that we should be a swift listener, paying close attention to what's being said. What is trying to be communicated? Are we present with a person as they share with us what's going on in their heart and mind? Here's one thing. Shut off the I've got the answer for you switch and simply listen and try to understand what's being said. That's intentional living.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com.
You know, we're talking about giving kids their space today. It used to be referred to as helicopter parenting. And now it's called intensive parenting, right? Whatever that means. That means they're really intensive. I guess helicopter didn't sound right. So intensive is better. And we got people wanting to join us. We're going to get to them in a moment. But here's the answer to the question. The average parent does this 5 times a week for about 15 minutes each time. What is it? Stephen Davis said sleep. You think young moms are thinking, yeah, that's about right. No, the answer is argues with a child. So about 5 times a week. Sally's in there. You're running the numbers. So was that above average, below average? Yeah. 5 times a week for about 14 minutes each time. Argues with your kids. Hovering over kids, let's go to George. And he's in California. George, welcome to the program.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Appreciate your call. Your parents?
Off on the side of the road. I'm pulling off on the side of the road right now.
There you go. Okay, I'll let you do that. While you're pulling off, which is a good thing to do to be safe, it says here that your parents were helicopter parents. And so we asked for people to share what was that like and what did you learn in the process. So go right ahead, George.
Well, the first thing is I have to say I didn't feel respected, didn't feel loved, because what I had to say or my input, I took that it wasn't important. And I learned that throughout childhood and even into my young adulthood, because up until my upper 20s and 30s, my parents, especially my mother, was extremely hovering and wanted to be actively engaged and tell me exactly what I should or shouldn't do. And I learned the hard way from my own self, but even from having dealt with some other teenagers, is that when that occurs, the only thing that results is a rebellious state from the teenager. Because if I'm not being heard, then it says that I'm not important enough to you.
Mm. Wow. Because you're a retired teacher, so you saw this probably in your classroom setting, didn't you, over the years?
Right. I was a teacher and administrator for 33 years, and all at on the high school level. And what I learned, and that worked exceptionally well, and it also worked exceptionally well with our two children, was that if a student came to me and there was a dilemma, whether it's a disciplinary problem or whether it's just some kind of questions or something, I would ask them to share me their story. What's going on? What's happening? Why were you sent to me? What could you have done differently? Or just allow them to speak. And, you know, in disciplinary situations, if they owned up to the fact that they had made the mistake and they were totally honest, then the first thing I did was praise them for being honest. And then I allowed them to come up with the consequence. I did the same thing for my children. My wife and I are very fortunate. We have a beautiful marriage of 43 years. We have two grown children that are, I got to say, God has just blessed us remarkably with them. And I have to say, I mean, my wife and I, and I'll speak more for myself than my wife, but, you know, I have failed many times as a parent. But what really helped tremendously in the relationship with my children is that I practiced the same thing I did in my career as an educator. If they were at odds, I would listen to them, and I'd allow them to take and share. And whether it's through emotions, whether it's through just disagreement or just questioning, and then I never gave them answers. I would give them options and say, you know, you have a lot of things that you could choose to do.
Yeah.
And whatever choice you make, that's your choice, and I'll support you in that. And if it's the wrong choice, then we'll come back and revisit it. Because part of my job as parent, part of our job as adults, is to mentor children, teenagers, even other adults, in how to take and be productive in the world.
Absolutely.
And if we're always making decisions for them, then they're not going to learn.
That's good. You know, we're really talking about this thing of teaching our children how to make decisions and then follow through with them, not making decisions or suggestions for them. So even though you grew up with helicopter parents, you learned something. They must have done something right to help build that kind of character in you to say, hey, I can overcome this and I can change and be different in my generation.
Well, I learned through pain and struggle because I left my hometown and went away to a college in another city, and I never moved back home. I made it happen for myself. I know my parents did the best they could in what they knew as how to parent. It didn't help me very much, but I know they loved me and they did the best they could. Mm. So I don't hold any kind of grudges against my parents. God rest them both. Mm. But I knew that I did not want to have children that I was entrusted to my care to go through the same thing. And so I studied, I prayed, and the most important thing is actually going to scripture and prayer. And, you know, when you look at St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and he talks about how to parent and how to approach your child with loving care and tenderness and affection, I think that's extremely important.
Well, George, listen, you've added a great deal to the topic today. I mean, you've given us the picture from why it doesn't work and what it does when it doesn't work, and how to overcome it if that's the way you were raised. And one of the key things that George says, I just want to camp on for a moment. George did not allow bitterness toward his parents, okay? I mean, they did the best they could, he said, but didn't help him that much, he said. But he holds nothing against them. He loves them for knowing they did the best they can. And again, this gets back to intention and expectations. You hear me hammer at all the time on intentional living. My guess is, George, that your parents' intentions were good, but they blew it in terms of the expectations of how it really should be. And the fact you don't carry on with a bitterness or grudge toward them, and you've gone beyond that and taken it to another level, is a very positive thing in your life.
Well, thank you. One other comment I want to make is that we as parents, many times our children are going to play games with us and try to play mom against dad, etc. My wife and I, from the very beginning, even before our children were born, talked about this. And I think that's important that, as parents, we talk about this, is that if a child came, if one of my son or my daughter came and said, "Dad, can I do this?" And I said, "You know," I said, "You know, I don't know. Let me talk it over with your mother, and we'll get back together." We got together with them. It wasn't mom saying this or dad saying that, but we, yeah, as a cohesive parent, actually presented to them, "This is what our decision is.
That's smart.
And if you want to talk it further, let's talk it out." So it wasn't playing. We weren't going to get caught in that game of he said, she said, et cetera.
And that creates a real division. Thank you, George. I'll let you get back on the road there. Hear your blinker. Be safe. Wisdom, all those years as an educator, learned a lot, carried it on at home as well. All right. I hope you're learning something today. I'd love to hear your thoughts as well. I'll be back with more in a moment.
And one thing that we do as an intentional parenting towards our kids that is working is to show them not only, you know, that we love God, but show them an example that we trust God and that we abide by the word.
I just wanted to let you know one thing that's working well, and that is our nightly devotions with our children, and it's really drawing them closer to the Lord, and they're growing in their faith because of it.
I was calling regarding what I do intentionally in raising my children, and one thing I do often is intentionally taking the time to talk about the crossroads that you're going to have in life, not only in the decisions that you make, but the consequences to your decisions.
You know, I believe that God will never have you make a choice in life that will violate His word. The Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. So by knowing the Bible and obeying it, you will do God's will and you can make the right choices. Yet even after examining Scripture in light of your situation, it's possible you're going to have times where you're not sure, you're still doubting the direction. It's not a matter of, is this, you know, bad or good? If it is, that's pretty clear. Or is it scriptural or unscriptural? That's pretty clear. But I think many times finding and discerning God's will comes down to, just not quite clear. I've got it all and I've prayed and I still am not getting the answer. So I'd like to close this lesson this month by sharing with you something that I sat down a number of years ago and penned out for myself. 11 questions that I think are profound questions to ask before you make a decision concerning God's will for your life. Are you ready? All right. Number one is the vision question. Will this decision move me toward a life goal or toward solving a problem?
Discovering God's will, the lesson this month from Intentional Living, the entire lesson's available up on the website, and you'll hear more that'll be encouraging to you on those questions on finding God's will. And all of this is available because of the, you know, the prayerful financial support of our, frankly, of our listeners from all around the country. Men and women, young and old, some businesses that support us. Most people giving about $1 a day, $30 a month. Some giving more sizable gifts, leadership gifts. Everybody working together to make sure that we can do what we do every day without borrowing money to get the message out of God's intentional love for you. Come and join us. Your support is needed today. You can do this by calling 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. Come join, be a part of the team, making a difference, impacting people for Christ. 888-888-1717, and press number 2, or go online safe and securely to theintentionallife.com and click on that donate icon. You know, today we've been talking to parents, helping parents be intentional in raising kids. We're passionate about multiplication here. What does that mean? The messages that we share, we want to see them multiply. And every time a parent gets a little more intentional in raising their kids, that's a multiplication effect into the next generation. And you're all helping make that possible. Hey, thanks for joining us today. If you have a comment, a story to share, our storyline is always open to you 24 hours a day at theintentionallife.com. Or calling and then leaving your audio message by calling 888-888-1717.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
Talking about helicopter parenting today, let's go to Liz. Liz, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Go right ahead. So tell us how you relate to this topic today.
Well, I wouldn't consider myself a helicopter mom. I'm a mother of three kids. I have a 9-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a baby girl. Now, my 6-year-old is who I'm calling about. He was starting to really struggle in school, and I didn't want to see him struggle so hard, so I started to help him at home. I was having him do extra work at home, just trying to keep his grades up so that he could succeed. And then it was working. His grades were getting better, and he was starting to feel great about himself, but I started to see this anxiety with him, and he's only 6, so this pressure of having a mom that is not just his mom and his safe place, but now I'm his teacher, and I'm the only reason he can pass, basically, is how he started to perceive me. And I don't want to be that mom, and I don't want to be that helicopter parent, but I don't want to see him struggle. And what I'm doing is working, but at the same time, he needs to be able to do that stuff too. So
What can happen, Liz, is a part of it. What can happen is you can win the battle and lose the war. In other words, you can get the grades up, but your child, you're sensing it. You're a wise mom. He's getting anxious. He's trying to please you. And he's probably defaulting, is this good enough, or can you do this? And you can see that with kids. Sometimes you ask them to do something. Oh, no, you do it. You do it, because they don't feel that they're capable. I'd rather have my son or daughter be a C student and be healthy than to be an A student and be unhealthy, frankly. And that doesn't mean they can't do A work, and we need to hold them accountable to help them do the A and B work. Okay, but what I'm saying is you may have a son or daughter that is going to need some extra help, but maybe it's not you. Maybe you're going to have some testing done. Maybe there's some extra coaching, encouragement. Maybe there's some way of finding out that they have some other ways of learning. Every child learns in a different way. So I would do some of those things. And if your heart is telling you, listen, mom, I say this to all moms and dads, if your heart's telling you that you feel off base with what you're doing, that's a pretty good indication you want to do something different. But listen, your heart is right. Your intentions are good. But if you're not getting the outcome that you're hoping for, then it's probably worth sitting down with the teacher, talking a little bit about what they're seeing in the classroom. How can you adapt some things, some learning style issues to help them learn and so on. But you sound like a smart mom, and you're catching it early and want to work on it. That's a good thing. What do you all think? Love to have you add in to keep the discussion going. This is Intentional Living. We're on this path together. You can join us at 888-888-1717. We'll be back again next time with more Intentional Living. Until then, from Stephen and the rest of the team, God bless you and have a good day.